You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com. We continue our study in the Book of Acts with special guest teacher, Pastor Heath Tibbetts.
All right. Thanks so much, Nathan. I'm so glad to be here with you all today. And Nathan's my hippie pastor friend. That's how I know him. So he's my guy that wears, you know, Hurley shirts and stuff, and he means it. He knows what that stuff is. So I'll share with you a little bit about what God's been doing with me. Last week I was in South Dakota preaching at a church plant, and now I'm in Chicago, so same thing, basically. But I'm seeing less Wranglers and 4x4s so far. That's all I'm seeing. That's the only difference. But let me tell you this. One of the things that God's been telling me, so I got the offer to come out to South Dakota and preach at my friend Stephen's church. So as we come out to South Dakota, I said, great, I love South Dakota, I'd love to come out there. But I'd already said yes to coming and preaching here. So I was going to be gone 2 weeks in a row, two Sundays in a row at my church. I've never done that before. And so I was really nervous, so I start talking to my folks. I'm like, hey, I think I'm going to be out two Sundays in a row. What do you all think? And they're like, that's amazing. We've been praying for Real Church. We've been praying for Connection Church out in South Dakota. We think it's great that you would go and you would do that. But listen, I got scared to death because we've had people who visited the church and now they're going to be like, well, you know, we don't have the good preacher here. I'm just being honest, okay? I'm just being honest about my pride. If I leave, the church is going to fall down and fall apart. And guess what? It didn't. And it's not falling apart this morning. And so when Nathan asked me to come and share, he's like, you know what? We got guys coming and sharing through Acts, you know, and like somebody's going to get to do Acts 9. That's my favorite one. That's the one that I just rock on. And then he gave me Acts 9. And so I'm like super nervous because I know he's critiquing all morning long. But anyway, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 9 if you've got a Bible, if you're not there already. I'm excited to share this with you because it's so much of what I am learning. The longer I walk with Christ, the more I'm realizing that I'm nothing but a tool and a vessel of His. The more I think that I'm the one who's going to build my church, or I'm the one who's going to build my family, or I'm the one who's going to fix my finances or fix my neighbor, the more I think that, the farther off I am. Now, I don't know about you how many times you've had to replace something inferior in your lives. This is where you're expecting some big spiritual truth. For me, it was my TV. I had the big tube TV. And I love watching college football. But you know what I noticed? When you have ever see the score. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Because the score apparently is up in the corner. And I can't see that. So I told my wife, I said, honey, it has become imperative that we get a widescreen TV. This is just for us to be culturally relevant. I must have a widescreen TV. And so I went around and I searched and I researched and tried to decide where I was going to get it. I've investigated. Finally, I've got it. And now you know what? I can see the whole picture. See, I made it spiritual. That's right. I did it, Pastor Nathan. I brought it around. Okay. So when I do that next week, my family's going to be like, yeah. And all my people are going to be like, what is he doing? All right. So, you know, Christianity is really just a recognition of something better, isn't it? You recognize there's something better than your way. There's something better than your sin that you thought was so great. There's something better than your wisdom. And there is certainly, praise Jesus, something better than hell. And we are thankful that while we take the Lord's Supper in recognition of who we are and what we deserve, we are so thankful that God has given us something much, much better. I've got a big point for you today. The big point is simply this. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are emptied of ourselves. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are emptied of ourselves. We get rid of our spiritual tube TVs, okay? And we can start having a big perspective. And today we're going to see the early church's biggest enemy. Their biggest enemy, the guy they didn't want to run into in a dark alley. You know, last night we spent time here in Chicago, and we wanted to give our kids a Chicago experience. And I'll just be honest, I'm using Google Maps to walk around, okay? I recognize it's all squares, and I should be able to get there. And sometimes I'm like, you know what, I could cut through that alley. Eh, I don't think so. I'm going to stay right here. And one time I told my wife, hey, I think I know how to get us to this spot. She said, you know what? Why don't we just do what Google Maps says? And I said, okay, babe, let's just do what Google Maps says. But, you know, this is a guy you did not want to meet in a dark alley in Jerusalem if you were a Christian. And he's going to go from being the church's biggest enemy to its greatest missionary. Now, you think about who you don't want to give one of those cards to because they would never say yes. That's who we're going to meet this morning. The guy that would never say yes to coming to Real Church, or so you thought. Let's take a look. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. We're going to look through the whole chapter. We're going to kind of bounce around. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. It says this, but Saul, some of you know him as Paul, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, notice what Saul was filled with. This is what was consuming his life. He was breathing out threats and murder. Hatred was filling him. Have you, as a Christian, ever been filled with something other than the Holy Spirit? I can tell you have, because I'm going to work off my life. I know I have. When you're filled with greed and discontentment, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with lust, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You have found something else that is going to come into your life, and it's going to rule you. It's going to start making plans in your life. Because you allow it to. You say, well, maybe this isn't so bad. And you know, that blood that Jesus shed, it says I can do whatever I want, right? No. That's what Romans chapter 6 says. Basically, Paul says, do you have a 007 license to sin as a Christian? No, that's not why you came to Jesus. You came to Jesus in recognition of all that was wrong and all he would fix. And Paul, he's really filled with hatred of the way. Sometimes I wish we'd never changed the name. I think that's such a cool name. I mean, Christians is great because it brings out the name of Christ, but they were called The Way. That just feels like a microphone drop. Yep. I'm part of The Way, bang, out. And then you're just done. But no, there was so much more, and he is filled with it because why? We like our way. We like our way. Paul, that's going to happen like a million times, the artist formerly known as Saul, okay? Paul, Saul, he wasn't anti-religion, he was just anti not his kind of religion. Because he says he was a Pharisee, he was a spiritual teacher, and he helped build a lot of these walls and a lot of these things that just crushed people. You know what I love coming in here, and I know my family would say this too. As a pastor, we've been in lots of different churches in my life, some that we were a part of and some we were just visiting. There are some churches you come in and, you know, if something like this were up at the front, they'd be like, I don't know about that. I'll just drink some grape juice and eat some bread when I get home, okay? Because I'm not sure what you guys are doing. I love the fact that you guys are a real church. I mean, when I'm reading through Acts, this is the picture that I have of the early church. There's noise, there's kids, there's people coming from all walks of life. That's what I think church is supposed to be. I mean, Jesus Christ came to save us all. And see, Paul, Saul, this is going to happen a million times. Let's just get over it, okay? Saul, Paul, he had this situation where he had helped build this thing. And he loved his rules. You know what? It does not surprise me that people pick false religion. Because false religion is filled with you doing stuff. And we like to do stuff. We like our checklist sometimes. I like to know whenever I was a college student walking in, okay, professor, I know you want to like teach me something about economics. I don't care. I want to know, what do I have to do to pass this class? Are you taking attendance? I might have to drop this class. Okay, are you? Okay, so what are we doing? All right, so people are with me. Okay. And for my kids who may one day go to college, you will go to every class. Okay? My parents never said that to me, so I could do whatever I wanted. All right, so I wasn't breaking the rules. But we like rules. We like being a check off. I did that. I get to go to heaven. I did that. God must love me now. And Saul could not understand when you're talking about grace. That's what this way was talking about. They're talking about grace and relationship with God. Saul couldn't quantify that. He said, no, I've got a checklist right here, and you guys are ruining my checklist. I built this checklist. This is mine with the fancy pen on cardstock, and you are ruining it. And so Saul is going to go off to Damascus. And I had to sit and think, okay, why is he going to Damascus particularly? Well, remember, whenever the persecution comes into Jerusalem, if you know a little bit about church history, I'm a huge history nerd. If I had glasses right now, I'd be going, meow. And so I love history. Whenever you had all this persecution stomping in Jerusalem, one church historian said every time they tried to stomp Christianity out, they just splashed it everywhere. And so part of that splash was to Damascus. It wasn't really a part of Israel. They were kind of tied because Rome pulling everything together. But a lot of Jews lived there. So listen, these Christians facing persecution had to leave Jerusalem. And they could have went to some cave somewhere and hid. Instead, they go to Damascus because there were a bunch of people there who don't know Jesus. Now, I'll tell you, I'm not sure if I would have picked Damascus as one of those Christians and said, right now I'm going to be missional. I might have said, you know, I got kids. I've got a wife. I want to be safe. You know, someone was talking about sometimes you like your safety, you like your security. We do. I can't find a whole lot of places in the Bible where it says, you come to Jesus and everything will just be as secure. You'll feel great all the time. Oh, it's so awesome. You know, it is awesome because I know that no matter where he leads me, I'm never there by myself, including up here. I get sick every time before I come up to share the word of God. Every time. And I'm thankful to God. Because I told you, I got a pride problem. So if I recognize the only reason I'm not going to get sick on somebody, which this morning would be Pastor Nathan, the only reason that's going to happen is because the Holy Spirit is reminding me, Heath, you're not doing anything anyway. You know why you can be gone out of your church 2 weeks in a row and your church ain't going to fall down? Because it ain't your church. And my mom ain't here, so I can say ain't. So all these things going on. But we're going to see the bravery of one of those believers who goes to Damascus and how God uses him. So Saul, this is a dramatic reenactment. If you used to watch Unsolved Mysteries, who watched Unsolved Mysteries? Yeah, that's where we really see the generational gap. Okay? Here's a dramatic reenactment. So Saul, he's on his way to Damascus. And all of a sudden he hears this voice and this light. It's Jesus. And everyone kind of hears something going on, but only Saul is hearing Jesus' voice. And Saul's hearing, and Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? You see, Saul had never realized he was in opposition to God. He thought he was God's agent. You ever known people that are just holding people down in church or holding people down in life, and they think they are God's agent? You know, there are some churches that I've been learning about where we're at in Rockford. I'm in northern Rockford. Where we're at, there are some churches there, they ask you to specify that you won't listen to certain radio stations. Because if you don't listen to that radio station, then you'll be close to Jesus. Yeah, that's my problem. That's my problem. So you look and you say, who are you really persecuting? Who are you really holding down? Saul wasn't persecuting those people. They were still agents of Christ. He was persecuting the name of Christ. So Saul is struck with blindness, and he's led into Damascus, and he's there, and he's stuck. He had this big mission, and it got taken away. I want us to look together at Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. Now we're going to see one of these Christians who's obviously showing great faith asked to really show great faith. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Just a note of warning. When you say that, get ready for God to take you somewhere, okay? Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. This guy was persecuting. Now he's praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. So Jesus calls Ananias specifically to be a witness to Saul. I had a missions professor who first talked to me about the idea of divine appointment. You ever heard that term before, divine appointment? He said, you need to start praying for divine appointments. I was like, I don't know what that is. The only appointments I know about are like the dentist, and I don't like them. No, divine appointments are you start praying and saying, you know what, God, it's not Sunday, it's Tuesday, but doggone it, I'll do something kind of Jesus-y today. I think I might just share my faith with somebody on not Wednesday or Sunday. Now, you can tell how traditional I am because that's when we do church, Wednesday, Sunday, okay? You guys are like Monday. You guys are so crazy. I bet you guys go surfing afterwards, even on the lake, okay? So all these different things. Oh, can you surf on the lake? Surely not. Okay. I got a no, I got a yes. Okay. We're going to have to work. I didn't really expect there to be like a debate in the middle of the sermon, okay? You guys need to learn about when someone asks a question is called rhetorical, okay? No.
Not here.
I love that. So no, Ananias, he's basically being led to do this big thing. And all he says to Jesus is, listen, Jesus, love ya. Did you give me the right address? Because I was just checking it on Google Maps. And Saul's there right now. And I don't really want to talk to him. I'm not so sure. I've heard Saul likes to take people who are living Christians and make them dead. And Jesus says, no, this is exactly where I want you to be. He's praying. Now that's cool. That's cool. You realize there was something going on in his life. So you might see someone you work with, that person you work with that you know they're never going to come to Jesus. You know what? They might just be praying about something. I don't just ask church planners. When I meet people, if I try to share the gospel and I can tell they're not really into it, one of the things I will try to do is say, you know what? Thanks for listening. Is there any way I could pray for you? I have almost, with that exception, never been turned down. You know what? Yeah, I do have this thing going on. You could pray for me about that. So Ananias sees there's something spiritual going on. So it's been 3 days since Saul encountered Jesus. He's waiting. He's praying. He understands his error. And now let's look at Acts 9, 17 and 18. So Ananias is going to go. Says this. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. So Ananias comes in, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's saying, receive the indwelling, the Holy Spirit coming into your life, and the special power of the Holy Spirit. You know why it's sometimes difficult to tell children they're inviting Jesus into their heart? I had a children's minister tell me one time, she kept talking to this little boy about, do you want to accept Jesus into your heart? I do, but how's it going to get in there? Is it going to hurt? I don't know what you're talking about. And so I try to communicate even to children about the power of the Holy Spirit. You know why people don't know who the Holy Spirit is? Because we haven't made an introduction. So don't be afraid to talk to children about the Holy Spirit. Listen, you are accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're asking him to overcome your sin and put you on track with his plan. And God's presence, the Holy Spirit, is going to come right inside you. And he's going to start giving you direction and teaching you and showing you the way you should go. So listen, everyone who accepts Christ receives the Holy Spirit. He comes into your life. 1 Corinthians says, you become the church, the temple of the Holy Spirit. But filling is not something that is constantly happening. I think I've got Ephesians 5:18 to show to you guys. You probably know this. It says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, side note, you ever wonder, why in the world does it talk about being drunk with wine and then talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit? There were a group of people that said, you know what we found out? When we get drunk, we have superpowers. That's what they thought. They had this goddess that they believed that when they got drunk and they had no idea what was going on, and you know some people think they get drunk and they can fly, these people thought they could. And he says, listen, you don't need to turn to alcohol to find your special power. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And literally, when he wrote it down, he says, you need to be being filled. It keeps on happening. You keep recognizing that the power of the Holy Spirit must come in you. He doesn't leave. He doesn't leave. But you have to tap back into that power. You know, I love that you guys are doing scripture as a church together. One of my great passions is biblical literacy. I accepted Christ at 12. My life took off in my early college years because I had a man who challenged me to read God's word. And you know what? You want to know the will of God? You better read the word of God, and then you'll see things happen in your life. I didn't have to listen to what my pastor said, although you should. I now could hear it from God. Isn't it so much more meaningful when you read it in the Bible for yourself and you go, whoa, I'm not just doing this because Pastor so-and-so said that's what I believe. I'm doing this because that is what I believe because I read God's word and it changed me. It transformed me. And so here he is saying to Saul, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 18, it says immediately, right away, as soon as he made that choice. So the Holy Spirit has the power to change you and to change me, what? Immediately. But we must choose it, because in verse 17, Ananias doesn't force the Holy Spirit on him. Ananias invites him. He says, be filled. Make that choice. Choose to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work through you. So Saul could have chosen anger. He could have chosen bitterness. He could have chosen so many things, but instead we see that he chooses the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And Saul is changed immediately. I'll show you a big proof of that, because sometimes people say, well, how long does it take to change as a Christian? Listen, there is no gum or patch that we give you to step you down from sin. You're just supposed to start saying, well, that's the opposite of what I want to be. Here's what Jesus is calling me to be. How about I just shoot for that? Now listen, you won't always hit it. Sometimes you read where the Bible says to be holy like God is holy. And some people say, well, I can't do that, so I guess I won't even try. Listen, you'll get closer trying than you will just saying, well, I can never hit that mark. Stop saying you could never hit that mark. How many areas of your life do you just give up on? Not that many. You start to look and say, you know what? I can do this. God can change me on this. Now, here's the big proof in verse 18 that Saul really made a change. It says he was baptized. Now, people like Saul didn't get baptized. There's a reason that was a big deal. Y'all ever heard of Rahab before? You ever heard of Ruth before? Those women would have had been baptized. Did you know that? Whenever you were a non-Jew and you wanted to become part of this family, they would baptize you. That was something they would have done in the Old Testament and say, okay, Rahab, you want to be a part of us? We are going to baptize you and bring you up. That's why people had a problem with John the Baptist baptizing people. He was baptizing Jews. And the Pharisees were saying, no, these people are already in the kingdom of heaven. He said, no, they're not. You cannot say because you went to church growing up, you're going to heaven. You've got to make this choice. And so for Saul, the Pharisee, the guy making the list, for him to choose to be baptized is for him to say, I was wrong. That's a big, hairy deal. That's the Greek term for it, okay? So when someone makes that choice, makes that change, because now no longer is he going to be breathing out, filled with murderous threats. Now he is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit brings us a change in our breathing. Pastor Nathan told you that this morning I've got a retired pastor who is preaching in my church. I've got enough retired and former pastors in my church to start my own basketball team. And I've always heard that that's bad. You don't want former pastors in your church. And you know what? For some, that's probably true. But praise God that I have some Spirit-filled pastors in my church. They are supporters of me. They are some of the first men to not come up and say, you know what, you kind of messed up on that when you said big hairy deal. That's not a Greek term. I was looking through my concordance and I don't think that's there. I have not seen that happen. These men are some of the biggest encouragers I have. They're men that just embarrass me. Well, one of those men, Dwight, was in a special time on Wednesday night. We're just reading through the Bible and he shared with me about a sermon he had heard about the expulsive power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, I am terrible at sermon titles. In fact, you'll notice I didn't give you a sermon title really when I came in here, because that's not me. I just kind of find truth, God impacts me, and I share it. But boy, he was sharing about that title, and that really just, that resonates with me. I mean, if you imagine that this music stand here is sin in your life, and the Holy Spirit doesn't come in and say, well, you know, we're both comfortable here together, it's just fine. No, the Bible says that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you are sensitive and submissive, the Holy Spirit says, see ya, and moves it out. And now he can be feeling, but here's what we do sometimes. We say, well, you know what? It wasn't that bad. I mean, we can just put that together, right? It gives you a place to rest your arms, Holy Spirit. So, you know, it's actually kind of comfortable. The sin's not so bad. And yet, Jesus had to shed his blood for it. See, that's my problem. My problem is sometimes I think there are degrees of sin. And this sin, Jesus only had to get a splinter for. No, he had to die on the cross and shed his blood for all of it. It's no little splinter that he does to take that on for me. So we look and we see the old life trying to creep in. And we say, no, Holy Spirit, push this out. I choose your power. And I have to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. That comes by you reading the Word of God. Keep reading the Bible. Sometimes you read the Bible and say, you know what? It's hard. I didn't understand it this morning. You know what? Don't freak out. That happens to everybody. And you know what? Sometimes you're praying and you say, in my prayer life, I feel like it's not really connecting. That's okay. You keep talking to God. You don't stop talking to him. Whenever I have times with my wife and we're not really communicating much, I don't say, well, I'm just going to take a month off and kind of refocus, center my conversational chi, and then we'll try it again. No, when we have an argument or something doesn't happen, I'm looking for, okay, how can I come and say I was an idiot and start that again? How can I try again? Because I am always wrong. I'm always wrong. I am. It's not what she said. It's what the Holy Spirit told me, okay? So you may think there are areas of your life that God cannot or will not change. And I'm telling you, that's a lie. So stop buying that lie and saying, for me, this sin is okay because it just can't ever go away. It's been such a part of me for so long. That is garbage. Stop keeping garbage in the house. We take it outside. We get rid of it. So the testimony of Saul disputes that you can't be changed. Let's keep looking. Acts chapter 9, 19b through 22. Okay? So here's what it tells us about Saul as we keep going. So for some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately, you see that word again, he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Now, how could this man teach about Jesus in such a short time? Well, there's a couple things. Number one, he got discipled. That's what I love about what you guys have here. You guys know each other. You have the opportunity to be able to ask what's going on and share with one another. You know what? That inspires me this morning. I'll be honest. Some mornings I say, you know what? I want to have a time and ask people to come up and share what God's doing in their life. And sometimes I'm afraid of it. What if someone gets up there and says something crazy? I don't have my hippie pastor friend's skills of being able to come and say, well, that was totally rad. Who's next? I can't do that. I can't leave that big spiritual matzo ball hanging out there. I got to do something with it. But we have to look and find our opportunities to disciple people. So I start talking. We're seeing people by the grace of God. And because you know what else? We're asking. We're seeing people come to Christ. We haven't seen people come to Christ in our church in a while. Our baptistry is way too dry. And it's bugged me. And you know what I realized? I was looking at how I was going to fix it. And I did this crazy thing. I asked God to fix it. I said, God, would you work in me and our people that we start being a greater witness to people? And now we're seeing people come. And so I'm talking to people in my church that I know are serious about their personal devotion time. And I'm saying, hey, this person's a new believer. Would you just give them a call, give them a text every week and check in? If you want to make that more, make that more. But right now, it'll be more than we have going on. And then we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we keep praying and talking. I've got a woman in my church. She says, you know what? I tried reading the Bible before, but I couldn't understand it. And she said, now before I read, I decided to pray first. And when I pray before I read the Bible, like, I understand it now. And she said, I guess it's because I'm coming to your church. I said, no, it's because the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit you've had the whole time, has been wanting to speak to you on that issue. He's wanting to show you that he is the teacher. So you see that it says Saul is increasing in strength. This is a spiritual strength. It comes by spiritual exercise. You read the Bible and some days you say, I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of that. That's okay. Maybe you're not going to find out until 1 o'clock today. And all of a sudden, that is going to make a whole lot more sense than it made at 8 a.m. For those of you who get up at 8 a.m., okay? So we look and we see this. You see in verse 15, look back at Acts 9, verse 15 real quick. It's a small word, but it's an important word. In verse 15, whenever Ananias is being told about who Saul is going to be, he says, the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. So he's going to be used in that way. I love instruments, I love music, and I love being able to play the drums. And in fact, I've taught my son to play the drums. And the problem is, he's now better than me. And he can do things on the drum set that I can't do. And so sometimes I'm down there, and I'm like, yeah, I'm rocking. And then my son comes down there, he's like, and I'm like, and I'm going to burn my drumsticks now. Because I look and I say, he's got a skill I don't have. Listen, each and every one of you are an instrument. When you let sin pick you up, you don't sound so great. And so you think that's as good as you can be. But that's not true. The Holy Spirit comes in and man, he can play. He can play the spiritual accordion and make it sound good. You'd want to buy a double LP of spiritual accordion by the Holy Spirit when you're the instrument. Okay. I'll see if I can bring that around by the end. We'll give that one a shot. But here's what God's been telling me. Stop expecting spiritual results by physical efforts. Yes, we partner with God. Yes, we serve with God. But let me not think for a moment that if I put more physical sweat into it, that is going to endue spiritual results. It's the opposite. The more I turn to the Spirit of God. And so as a result of all these things, he becomes God's instrument and he is now a Spirit-filled witness. It said he is proving. Think about this. At most, it's been a couple weeks, if that. He is now gone from persecuting Jesus to proving him. The word means uniting. He was taking that Old Testament world and that New Testament world that people say don't go together, and he was slamming them together. He was saying, no, that is the Christ. Remember when Jesus is walking along the road to Emmaus with those two disciples? Jesus didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It says that Jesus began with Moses and the prophets to declare who the Messiah was. So if you say, well, Jesus just showed up in Matthew, you wrong. Okay? So we see that coming through here. So now he is becoming a uniting, Spirit-filled witness. One scholar said, when you see how the Jews were kind of in disarray, it literally means they were being tied up in knots. Because everything they believed to be true suddenly wasn't true, and they were trying to hold on to it. But the more they heard, the more they realized they were wrong. They were like going to have to follow Saul into the baptistry wrong. That's a big deal. Your neighbors and the people you know were going to see this. This kind of teaching, this kind of work is the work of the Holy Spirit. Conviction of man does not come by great teachers, but by great instruments filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, I keep sharing with my friend. Now listen, people make their own choices. And you're not responsible for their response. My evangelism professor once said to me, the only time you fail in your witness is when you fail to witness. So you remember that, but think about this as well. Are you really going in prayed up? Have you really prayed for God to work in their heart? You know what? Some people would hear that and say, you know, one moment you're saying, well, we're waiting for our house to sell and we have peace about it. And then 5 minutes later, you get a phone call. Some would say, that's a coincidence. If you just waited 5 minutes, that phone call would have come. Maybe not. I choose to believe when I ask God to do something and it happens, I praise God for it. That's what I'm learning in my life. We need to be those spiritual instruments. And so you see Saul. I mean, how much will God change you? Saul was the arrow of persecution, and he now becomes the target. Willingly. He chooses that. The Bible tells us he goes back to Jerusalem. He was supposed to come back with a bunch of Christians on chains. Instead, he comes back unchained and telling people about Jesus. That's the last place he should have gone if he wanted to be safe. Again, accepting Christ isn't about being safe. It's about being saved. And then you say, God, where do you want me? And some days, that feels really comfortable. And then some days, it's completely different. So we look and we say, God, what are you saying to me? I don't know how many of you read Jim Cimbala out there at Brooklyn Tabernacle. He's got a lot of great books. He talks about the change you see in Peter. How do we think of Peter when he's with Jesus? Man, he's always saying the wrong thing. He's always doing the wrong thing. And then you see Pentecost happen. And what happens after Pentecost? Suddenly Peter's out there, he's healing people, he's preaching, he's going to jail, angels are busting him out of jail. Cimbala says, what's the one thing that changed? Did he need a better Bible teacher? No, he had Jesus. The only thing that changed is Jesus left and the Holy Spirit came into him. Jesus said, I know you guys don't want me to leave. It's better for you that I do, because Jesus chose a physical body, which he still has in heaven right now. He has held on to that for eternity as that symbol to us of what he did. It's better for you that I go, because then the Holy Spirit will come and he won't just be around. You don't make an appointment and go try to visit the Holy Spirit wherever he is. He's there with you and he's there to teach you and remind you of all things. So we see that transformative and expulsive moving that junk out power of the Holy Spirit. Last verse, let me show you. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. I want you to see how this affects the church. As I pray for real church, I pray for Nathan, and I pray for the Parsios, and now I have to pray for Rocky. I didn't even know you guys had Rocky around, okay? So now I got another guy I had. Man. So as I pray for you guys, I pray that every day you come together, you're encouraged. It's not by the quantitative results that a lot of times we look at. You know, I had a guy talk to me about church planting. I feel like God's going to use church planting in our church one day. And you guys, I believe, are going to be a part of that. You're a part of inspiring my church to that. But I told somebody, I said, listen, my church isn't ready to plant. We have a lot of disciples who haven't been discipled. You can't bring people close to a God that you're not close to. We've got to repair some discipleship issues in our church. And you know what? By the work of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, and me talking about the Bible all the time, God's done it. God's working that. And I'm excited to see that. So as you look and think about your church and what God's going to do in your church, remember, it's what God's going to do in your church. Look at verse 31 of Acts chapter 9. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, that's a sermon unto itself, and I don't have time, had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Look at these two big products that you can have right here at Real Church as you guys individually submit to the filling of the Holy Spirit and as a church you submit. Number one is the fear of the Lord. Let me bring up this slide from A.W. Tozer. I've been taking my men's group through A.W. Tozer, a book he wrote called The Knowledge of the Holy. Here's what it says. The greatness of God rouses fear within us, but his goodness encourages us not to be afraid of him. To fear and not be afraid, that is the paradox of faith. So we talk about fearing the Lord. What does that mean to fear the Lord? It's right there. God's greatness, man, sometimes I think, oh, how does he let me talk to him? How does that happen? But at the same time, his goodness encourages me not to be afraid, to fear and not be afraid. They had the fear of the Lord that God owned the church. God owns you. He owns your church. He owns your mission. But then secondly, he offers and brings the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Literally, this word comfort means to come alongside and to console. For me, as an athlete in high school, I needed to be consoled a lot because I used the term athlete quite loosely, okay? I could never, baseball was always my first love. Go Cardinals. All right, I want to see how much y'all have been acclimated, okay? So, and I am a huge Cardinals fan. So, I could never hit the ball, but I could, nice, I got one. But I could always field. I mean, fielding was something I could generally do. And so when I messed up fielding, I'd let a grounder go through or something, I killed myself. I still do on my church softball team. Sometimes I was like, just pull me, pull the contract. And people are like, what are you talking about? It's church softball. Move on. We already did. But I can't. I can't. No, I'm the worst. I'm the worst. We have to learn how to move on and recognize, just like your pastor shared this morning, it's so easy to see God's judgment. I'm trying to learn more about God's grace. Am I saying that God is not a God who judges unrighteousness? No, I am not, because he does judge unrighteousness. But man, once he's saved you, it's time to learn how to fear without being afraid. That's exactly what you see coming through in this church. And what happens? The church multiplied. Through this fear and through this comfort, the church multiplied. Paul went to kill the church, and instead, he was a part of the church being spread. He wasn't filled with his expertise or his strategies. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the change. So my big point to you as I close up, and I just appreciate so much the opportunity today to share God's word with you. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means you will be emptied of yourself. Do you desire to serve God better? Listen, it's impossible apart from Christ. If you've never said yes to Christ, then you are missing out on God's plans for your life. He has a ton of them. But until you take that first step of faith, they're all on hold. Every single one of them. Had a woman come to Christ recently. She's estranged from her daughters, estranged from her family. She came to Christ gloriously on a day I preached about giving. I said, who invited visitors on this day? And then she got saved. And she came and she said, I'm estranged from my daughters because I've made bad choices. I've chose boyfriends over my daughters. And there's no reason that they would ever want me. I said, let's try praying about it. That was on a Tuesday. I think you know where this story is going to end. A week later, she says, guess who just called me? The daughter that I said would never call me. She just called me. And now I'm going to move down to Florida and be down there with my family. Now, I told her, I said, I want you to never miss this in your life. God had all these things that were on hold. He was waiting for you to come to him. And now that you have, not every single one is going to be an estranged daughter calling you out of the blue. But he's got a lot more going on for you now because you said yes to him. If you've never said yes to Christ, you've got this whole host of plans that are on hold. It's time to take those off hold. It's time to move on and say yes to Jesus. And if you've been saved, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because I haven't really answered that because I want to make it really simple. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is just simply regular submission to Christ. That's what it is. You know what? Yesterday wasn't so great. How about today we let it be great? How about today we let the Holy Spirit move in? How about I let grace cover yesterday, and today I let the Holy Spirit move in? Let me pray. Father God, I am so thankful for who you are. I'm thankful for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are not a force. You are the person of God displaying to us the truth of your word. God, I pray for Real Church. I pray, God, for these believers to know that you want to bring the power that comes through fearing the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit and can multiply this church. God, as they become prepared for what you want to do in them, I pray they would believe it. I pray they would pray for it and they would trust it. God, we thank you for your graciousness and your love. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Real Church Podcast.